In the fifth chapter of James, we are told in the Bible that Elijah was a human being just like ourselves. And today in the first reading, we heard about Elijah, how he traveled a full day's journey into the desert and sat under a broom tree and then prayed for death. He was simply exhausted, discouraged, and bitter. He was indeed a human being, just like ourselves. But then in the second reading today, we hear the words of Paul, to follow the way of love, and to get rid of all bitterness and passion and anger, and try to be kind to one another, compassionate and forgiving. And how often we find this kind of advice very difficult, especially whenever we discover that we are living in situations of conflict in our lives. It may be that our own family life is filled with tension. It may be that our work situation is too demanding, too competitive, almost inhuman, unrelenting. It could easily be today that the politics and the inflation and the bleak prospects of today's world situation causes this. And so one morning we wake up feeling just like Elijah, exhausted and discouraged and bitter. We ask, how can we possibly be compassionate and forgiving? Rather, we say, what's the use of going on? Would rather just give up. Now, what happened to Elijah when he fell that way? He fell into a deep sleep, and then an angel came to him with a hearth cake and a jug of water. And Elijah ate and drank. And then he lay down again, and the angel came back to him and said, now get up, eat, otherwise the journey is going to be too long for you. And so he got up and ate on the strength of that, and he went on for 40 days and 40 nights to the very mountain of God, Horeb. Now notice two things happened. After eating the first time, Elijah wanted to go back to sleep again. But if he had, the hunters who were out after him, the enemies, would track him down. And so the angel told him candidly to get up, eat and drink, and be on his way, or to be caught. And secondly, notice the length of the journey. That little hearth cake and water sustained him not just for a few hours or days, but for all of 40 days and 40 nights. That is a symbol of lifetime for each of us. And so we see that the theme in these two readings today is food for a journey. The journey we speak about today is our own personal life journey. And the way that we try to go on our journey is the way of love. In the process, trying to get rid of the bitterness, the anger that builds up in our lives. Trying again and again to be compassionate and forgiving. Trying even to be consistent in those attitudes. But what is the food? Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Those are the beautiful words we just sang a moment ago. I am the bread of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven for a person to eat and never die. And if anyone does eat this bread, that person will live forever. The Eucharist is our food for our journey to the mountain of our God. The Eucharist has the power to take away bitterness in our lives, to sweeten our spirits, and to keep us compassionate and forgiving. This Eucharist is the sacrament in which Christ, the risen one, becomes our food for our journey. The Eucharist is the bread for our life. There's no more powerful sacrament than the Eucharist in the full meaning of that word, the holy bread and the holy word. And yet, there's something wrong. We begin to feel uneasy. If the Eucharist is to be that powerful for us, then why has it become so slow? Or why are we so slow to express the power in our lives? We all seem to be plodding along in life so slowly, barely moving toward the mountain. We are still very much out in the desert. Perhaps we are like Elijah. After he ate and drank the first time, he lay down again. We might simply be savoring the sweetness of the Eucharist, appreciating its goodness, but not allowing its strength to strengthen us, not allowing its power to empower us. Perhaps what we need today is what Elijah needed, another prodding from the angel. There's an old saying that says, whenever we receive anything, we receive it according to our own personal dispositions and preparation. Water poured into a spiral tube takes on a spiral shape. A Beethoven symphony is appreciated differently by a high school rock guitarist, a symphony violinist, and an accomplished poet. The rock guitarist might appreciate the surging beat of certain passages of Beethoven. The violinist, the astonishing technical achievement of the piece. But only a poet could write, as did Edna St. Vincent Millay, "Sweet sounds of beautiful music do not cease." And so it is with the Eucharist. The language that is used to describe the power of the Eucharist is the language of our Lord Himself and of the saints. They are the accomplished poets of the Eucharist because they deeply experienced the power that it brought them. They know from experience what it means. The rest of us are still groping on the way. But remember, whenever you feel discouraged, what Jesus said, that he is the bread of life, and just before he said that, he talked about faith. Let me firmly assure you that he who believes has eternal life now. He who believes. Now reflect on that for just a moment. If we come to the Eucharist with a faintly skeptical attitude, an attitude of being slightly bored or show me, it could come from unreflective repetition. Or if we come without too much hope that the Eucharist will help us at all, then the effect of the Eucharist will be diminished. It's that simple. Now, this is not to say that we are expected to come here with some kind of perfect faith, or that we no longer have any tendency towards sin. As a matter of fact, it is the Eucharist that helps us to grow in faith, and it takes away sin. That's why we come here. Rather, what we are saying is that we should come to the Eucharist stirring up the lively dispositions of faith and hope and love that we need in order to be receptive to the power that it offers us. We are to come here with an open, honest admission of our own personal weakness. To be willing to say, Lord, I do believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I do hope, help thou my skepticism. Lord, I do love, but help thou my boredom. Lord, I do live today in a desert and I'm tired, but send me water and food to go on. And that's why we sang in the psalm, when the afflicted person cried out, the Lord did hear, and from all that person's distress, the Lord saved him. Now the Lord did send an angel to prod Elijah to wake up and to feed him. The Lord will do something like that to us in our Eucharist. In this sacrament, he comes to us to prod us, to wake us up, to feed us. But above all, to touch the innermost depths of our spirit, of our heart, with his strength. So that little by little we'll begin to feel a stirring way deep down within us. It will not be sudden, but change will begin to come gradually through life. And the tense situation in our family will not seem quite as tense. The unrelenting situation at work will begin to change. Perhaps we could change it a little bit. And the inflation, the politics, the world events around us will gradually begin to lose their demonic power that so often can fill us with bitterness and despair. And then the words of Paul will begin to take effect. We begin to get rid of anger and bitterness. We become a little bit more compassionate and forgiving. Our step might become a little lighter. The rain in our life will not fall in torrents. But as we do move across the desert of our life towards the mountain of God, we shall begin to feel the sprinkle. And the sprinkle of the rain of grace upon the world that might even make the desert bloom. And our step will become surer in faith, and hope will become brighter. Come to me, the Lord says. Come to the Eucharist, hear the word, eat the bread, and I shall refresh you.
We invite all of you to sing Bread Blessed and Broken.